we are experiencing one of the coldest seasons here in our the eastern states of Maryland.
Yeah, it's called winter.
Yeah,
colder than summer, spring, and fall.
This is true. This is true. But it hasn't been like a fun cold. You know, usually when there's like a lot of snow on the ground, you can go out and do that. We didn't even get that because it's a bunch of snow and then ice came on top of it, and so it's just like it pretty much just added a foot of ground that you can't walk on. It's just awful.
It's called snow creep.
Yeah,
is the term.
It's just awful. I'm 200 pounds, and I was straight up standing on it and like jumping, and I could not crack it. Like it was bad. So what I realized just how cold it had gotten, because like if you dress warm, you know, you're fine or whatever. But I was at a youth group retreat last weekend, and early in the morning, I had gotten up and I showered and got dressed, and I was heading out to go to the breakfast, right? And as I'm walking down the street, I sort of turn my head and I hear the icicles that have formed in my hair.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, cool. I was reminded of a story my stepdad told me when it was so cold wherever he was, that if your hair froze, you could just shake it off and your hair would come off. And I was like, oh, fuck, I gotta go. I gotta go right now.
Yep.
So I don't know if that's the coldest I've ever been, but that's the most scared I've ever been while being cold.
Can't lose those luscious locks.
I don't know, I've been growing for a few years. So I don't have Kelly or Mark's hair yet, but I'm getting up there.
That's okay, I never will.
I cut mine recently. It's like shoulder length now.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
I hate you. You and your hair having people.
Don, you can just not cut it.
I could also just not fucking lose it, too. That'd do it. Everybody's like, wow, you and your family, the men in your family are so tall. You have great genetics. I'm like, yeah, I'll also be bald and have flat feet. Fuck off.
You know what they say about men with flat feet?
Huge cocks. Huh?
Huge flat penises. Yep.
It's like a tapeworm down there. What, none of you guys have tapeworm penises? Just me? Alright.
Man, I was about to say the same damn thing, honestly. That would be funny shit.
Tapeworm penis.
Come on, guys. Pull yourselves together. I'm just getting started.
You killed him. Look at him.
Oh my god.
You're murdering him.
Oh god, that's fucking funny. There's things I can't make shirts of, and that's one of them.
It's not with that attitude.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to TPK us there, John.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you...
how we defeat the Scarlet Triad.
With humor. I was going to ask you guys, what's the coldest you've ever been? But that totally took the wind out of that.
Well, I can give a time I've been very cold, probably not the coldest I've ever been, but a couple of years ago I did some work with a surveying company, and since the company was terrible and they were horrible at organizing anything, I started working before they actually were able to get my onboarding process started, because they sucked.
Of course, yeah.
So we were in the middle of a farm field that we were surveying for various reasons, again, in the coldest month of the year. So there's about 6 inches of snow in a 100-acre farm field that we are just trudging through. And they're like, all right, you've got to call corporate and do this other stuff. So I call corporate, standing in snow, farm field, no tree coverage. So the wind's just coming right by me. And just,
oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah. My phone is having trouble staying on because it's so cold it's just shutting down.
Oh, my God.
That's always the fun one.
Yeah. And I'm trying to tell this lady, it's like, sorry, I'm having connective problems. It's extremely cold here. And what she heard was, it's cold here. And she's like, yeah, it's cold. And I think she said Colorado, too. I'm like, oh, so how's your home office, you bitch? I'm standing in 6 inches of snow. Fuck you. That was one of the worst work weeks of my life. Cause,
oh, gosh.
Yeah. It sounds like her attitude was cold.
Yeah, I was not having fun.
Really gave you the cold shoulder there.
Mm.
But yeah, if you've ever stood in the middle of a 100-acre farm field with just nothing but snow, it's flat snow, no, nothing to break up the snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100 acres standing directly in the middle of it, you feel like you're on Hoth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is nothing it's around gorgeous. You.
It's a gorgeous view, but yeah, no, you there's no cover, no nothing.
Yeah.
So that's my story.
The wind was so bad today that we went to go watch Disney on Ice, and the when it was in Baltimore, it was great, but the when we got out of the parking garage, the wind was so bad it ripped off my 10 months old hat and just flew down the street.
Yep.
I was like, I felt like I was in like Snowpiercer or something like that, and I'm like trying to protect my daughter from the cold so her hands don't fall off. It was horrible.
And the hat was gone.
Yeah, the hat was gone. Like, oh god.
No, I just flew into the Inner Harbor and we were like, yeah, it's staying there.
Hey, that's the harbor's now.
No, the trash wheel is gonna pick it up.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Trash wheel?
There's a trash wheel in the Baltimore
yeah.
Harbor.
Yeah. It's
a wheel made of trash.
Oh, it's for trash.
Sure.
It's really cool. It's a conveyor belt that it just like picks up stuff and sifts through, you know. It just like collects everything.
There's a mascot. It's just a person in a suit that's of the same shape.
I know it's because I'm a very skeptical person, but they're like, the Inner Harbor is now swimmable. And I'm like, you guys say that.
No.
When that was announced, I was like,
that's awesome. Yeah, I'm just going to believe you.
I would still
listen. I love that city. I'm the swimming in the water.
Okay, so what does it? Send RFK Jr. in there. He can do it for us.
The worm will finally be free.
It's just been waiting to go home this entire time.
I was just thinking, I was like, would a sift through trash? Would bodies also count too? Because
I don't want to know how many it might have picked up.
All right.
I have good cold stories. I've got so many. Being a Boy Scout, especially, you get. You start to rack them up in Boy Scouts. The worst one was on a scouting trip. This was when I was real young. I think I was tagging along with my brother's Boy Scout troop when I was still like in Cub Scouts. A storm rolled in the early morning when we were all asleep, and it was a torrential downpour of freezing rain.
And we were
in our tents asleep when it hit. And it would like hit hard. It was like windy and freezing rain, and we were asleep. So our tents start freezing almost immediately. We're all scrambling out. We're trying to get dressed. Everything in the camp is out. Like all of our dishes from the previous night that hadn't been washed yet. Yep. All of the cookware, the stoves, everything was out, and all of it just instantly started freezing. We were basically in our underwear.
right.
While it was freezing rain, covering everything, trying to pack up our fully fleshed out campsite. At like 6:30 in the morning.
It's called building character.
Absolute coldest. Like the adults were screaming at each other because they were so pissed and like freaked out. Because it was so dangerous that like we were hearing trees starting to like crack and fall, like branches were falling off the trees. We were in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And like the trees were starting to break under the weight of all the ice.
Yeah.
And like we were like, holy shit, we're gonna like get trapped in here if like a tree goes over the road.
Yeah. If a tree falls on a Boy Scout and no one's around to hear it, does he scream?
Yeah, that was the worst. That was the coldest I've ever been. It was a cold on a level I don't think I'll ever experience unless I like go to Canada.
There was a video that came out recently that it must have been in Minnesota or, you know, some very cold place. But it was like the people found out that like the sap in trees can freeze and then expand, and then the trees will just straight up explode. And people are like,
it's cool.
Like, what? It is very cool looking, but people are like, does that happen? It's like, yeah.
That was happening over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of videos.
Right, yeah. But like people didn't know that happened. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you don't walk near those trees when it gets too cold.
See, I remember on the Boy Scout trip, it was at Gettysburg in December. And I remember that was a fun one just because, like, you know, it's cold, but, you know, tolerable. But it was like one night I distinctly remember it was a windstorm came through. And of course, it's Gettysburg. The field's wide open. We have no cover, and my tent was the first in the row, and it was just the wind. We were like the breaker for everything else, and our tent actually collapsed under, like, the metal poles bent.
Oh, no!
And so we were trapped. We got out, but then we're now outside while it's freezing cold out. The wind's just whipping right through us and stuff like that. So, I mean, for me, it wasn't as much of an issue because I always have trouble sleeping for camping. So, and also, we got to a point that instead of sleeping, you know, in our underwear or whatever, be fully dressed. So that way we, like, because, you know, it's a cold morning. We're like, I don't feel like getting... dealing with this shit. I just want to get the hell out. But God, that was pretty freaking bad. But honestly, the one a couple years ago I did was pretty bad too, because that's when it dropped down to 5 degrees, and I decided to go camping at, I'm trying to remember, it was a northeast, I think it was.
See, where you went wrong is you said it was 5 degrees and you went camping.
Well, I like torturing myself.
I love cold weather camping. Yeah, it's my favorite.
It honestly feels great. It feels great. I hate hot camping. It is like one of the worst things for me.
Yeah, I'd rather,
you know what, I'd rather, I have to agree with that, yeah.
I'd rather kill myself.
Yeah, but that was definitely a freezing cold night where the tent was definitely not equipped fully for that, so the air just kind of went right through the insulation, and I was like freezing cold. So I barely slept again at that point.
Jeez.
But, you know, it was a fun experience. I'd probably do it again, actually, because this time I'm more prepped with a better tent. Nice. But...
well, what's been cold is how you guys have been treating these slavers.
You're right. We need to warm up to these guys. Be nicer.
Oh.
We're being a little too standoffish with these slavers.
No, I think we're being completely cordial and that we're not torturing them to death.
You know what? That's true.
We could be worse.
We could be worse.
We could be ripping off toenails, but we dignify them with a quick, clean kill. Better than they deserve.
As you say that, you hear Yunara in the back going, "We're not pulling off toenails? What?"
Now that we're not sneaking around anymore, we can take our time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think waterboarding with coffee, I think that's something I could do, you know.
We could make an example of these slavers when they come back, when their reinforcements come back here.
Yeah, string them up outside.
String them up. Slay them.
So that leads me into my question here of you killed a whole bunch of these slavers. Only one of them escaped, which was impressive. And you managed to get into the slaves' quarters. And the one guy that you talked to after you had indicated that you were going to get them out, he said that they can't leave because they have a curse upon them.
Huh. What?
Anybody know anything about curses?
Does anyone know anything about a curse like that?
Let me check my...
I've got knowledge religion.
Shocking.
Does brewing lore help?
So Thorne's going to say, what kind of curse are you talking about?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, to be honest, but I know that this being that I've seldom seen myself, but it places a curse upon each one of us.
And he lifts up his arm, and on the underside of his arm there is a mark of some kind, and it's vague. It's mostly like a circle with a little like crescent shape upon it. So it's very vague, and it's small. It's maybe about the size of a quarter. But all of them seem to have it.
I do have occultism.
Ooh. Okay. All right. Yeah. If you want to roll occultism,
that's all me and Elk would talk about on our hot dates.
Oh, you two like to gaze in crystal balls.
Gaze at my crystal balls.
I was gonna make that joke, but I thought it wasn't good enough.
Ponder my herbs, baby.
Ponder my herbs.
Ponder the herbs.
I will also say at this point, Laria is trying to take care of Sir Thorne as well, because he's down HP. So,
Yeah, it's
35.
So
that's you're 19.
Okay, so you're looking at this, and it does appear to be a magically etched curse, or is it some kind of mark? But without knowing where it came from, it could be the work of witches, it could be the work of demons, it could be the work of something. But clearly these people have been marked with something. And the way that they explained it is that
if we stay here because we have to. They tell us that if we work enough, then we'll leave. But if we leave upon our own, if we walk out, if we leave this island, then we will surely die. Maybe not tomorrow, maybe not the next week, but a great, horrible fate will come upon us. And that is why we stay here.
It's like working for Microsoft.
Right, Bill Gates. That's the guy that put the curse on.
Oh, no.
Damn it, Bill!
Quick question. Who was down HP right now?
I am kind of... Actually, don't worry about me at all. I'm fine.
I'm down, okay. I'm down almost 40 points.
Okay. Basically, during this time, she is constantly... Laria is using one of her abilities, coming right up, to brew any tea or coffee in inventory and basically giving it out. So, resurrection tea, 2d8 plus 5. Basically just trying to get you all the full before, you know, the second wave comes through.
If it's a free ability, I'll take some, but...
Yeah, it just takes time. So I'll just keep doing that until we're all topped off.
Do you basically have super expensive Starbucks prices on your healing tea?
Yeah, that's $4 for the taste of burnt.
$9 for a fucking latte? God damn.
I fucking hate Starbucks.
They suck.
It's bad.
Yeah. Oh, Tim, I need to tell you, we got an espresso machine in the office, my new job. It's been used about 100 times this week.
Nice.
By you, exclusively.
Maybe about 5 times by me, but yeah.
What kind of espresso machine are we talking about? Are you talking grinder kind of thing?
I'm not getting into this conversation with you. So listen.
You can't just bait me like that, Jake, okay? I will upend this podcast. I will metaphorically turn this story around to talk about the espresso set that works.
A machine cannot grind espresso beans the way they need to be.
I've never seen somebody tease Tim's cock harder than Jake. Just like, I'm not going to talk about the espresso, Tim.
I feel like I'm hearing Tim. I feel like I'm hearing Tim twice every single time Kelly says something.
Hey, I do not pass judgment on another man's setup until I have heard the whole testimony.
I don't pass judgment then I make until I've seen it.
Wait. Hold on. So these slavers, they are desperate for you guys to do something about this curse. So the guy that's been talking to you, his name, he is, where's my notes? There it is. Jorvik Pell. So he seems to be the impromptu leader of the men here. So there's four men in here. He's the leader. There's Calvin Prost, Thomas Rell, and Edrin Hale. They all come up and they introduce themselves. They're all human. Most of them are probably Taldane, but you know there might be some variation there. Jorvik comes up to you. Comes up to you, Sir Thorne, and then he's like,
"Are the women well? My wife is over there."
We have not checked on them yet. We came here first.
Is the way clear? I need to see her.
Yes, feel free.
So
he lets him go.
Okay. So he goes outside and he sees.
Sorthorn will follow.
Okay.
Yeah, because we need to.
Oh yeah, we need to unlock that shit.
Yeah. So you guys go over and he goes to open up the door. It's obviously locked, and so he can as he jiggles the handle, you can hear them like,
"With what?"
And he's like, "It's me,
Jorvik, Marin. It's me. We have rescuers."
And then you guys come over and unlock the door. They're all happy that you're there, and they're embracing each other. And so there's Marin Pell, which is his wife. There's Elwyn Kars, who's an elf. Brina Holt, who appears to be a dwarf, and then Sarah Dahl, who's another human. And so they kind of, you know, they're embracing, they're obviously very happy and stuff like that. But Jorvik comes up to you and he goes, "There's four of each of us, men, both men and women, still in the crystal mine. But I don't know when they'll be coming back. They usually wake us up at random times to go work."
Is that the way north, the road out of the camp?
Yes, yeah. If you go north, it's a few hour or so, an hour or two, on foot. We usually have that giant with us to pull the cart.
Well, not anymore at this point. It's just looking at the body like that giant. What the hell was that thing called again?
The Asatch. Yeah. You look over at the body, and you hear you see its stomach rumble, and then it just shits itself.
Oh,
so necessary.
Gross.
Will they be expecting the big fella to come back to help pull the cart back, or will they come back on their own?
He always goes. He's always the one pulling the cart. If one of us doesn't act quite right, then they might make us pull us, and then the big guy laughs at us the whole time. But if we really don't do well, that's when one of us goes away and we don't come back.
Well, why are they still out in the crystal mines if the big guy stayed back?
Well, he goes, and we go with him, and then whoever is at the mine comes back with him, and so he transverses back and forth. But I think it's like an every 12-hour thing, time's been lost to us here, I think.
Do you think they'll send anyone back here, or are they just expecting the big guy to show up there with someone else?
Did you tell him yet if one of the guys escaped?
Yes. So that's what I was about to say. I was about to say it's not that quite matters though. One of them got away, so they might be an hour up and an hour back unless they're running at full tilt.
I'm actually not sure. No one's ever. One guy fought back, but then I heard them tell him that he was going to go to the Whisperer, and we just never saw him again.
The who?
The Whisperer. It's the one responsible for this mark, and then he points at the curse mark on his arm.
I'm curious what the hell is causing that mark in general.
Have they ever talked about the Whisperer being in camp, or is it always north where the crystal mines are?
No. The crystal mines are north. This thing, the Whisperer. There was one time that I saw them walking west with somebody, but I don't know. It seems to be some denizen out there. But I'm afraid to ask you to go look. But if this curse is real, and he has power, I can't imagine the fate that will befall us if we leave.
Well, we're not going to just leave you all here. We'll have to go to this Whisperer. Shake him down for some answers. Otherwise, it's the mines.
What do you
think we should do? It kind of motions towards the, you know, Sir Thorn and the rest of the group.
Honestly, I think we could go for, since the one will be alerting them and they'll be coming back, we can always set up an ambush. The weather's posh, and there's trees up ahead and such like that. I mean, there's plenty of opportunities for a good right sneak attack. Wink. Speaking of, who does sneak attack damage?
I do.
Perfect. 75% of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what Laria is doing is she's also preparing that insight coffee as well. I'm assuming, Jake, this will transfer to them as well.
Yep.
So this will change your D6s for sneak attack to D8s.
Whoa!
For an hour. So basically, if we're raring up to go. Just take it.
Nice. I think I'd probably chug it when I knew that they were, like, upon us.
Yeah. I was just saying, like, it lasts an hour, so it's pretty solid. But
you guys are all very smart, so you'd be keeping a watch and stuff like that. You just have your coffee next to you.
She just, Nolly just drinks immediately, like, all right.
Coffee, sweet, thanks.
I don't know, one could have pumpkin spice, which boosts your occultism. And...
Oh, that's cute.
One's pumpkin spice, and does anyone have medicine that they need to upgrade? Because there's a toffee one that increases your medicine by +2. It's pretty good.
But yeah, I think Sir Thorne is thinking, I think we should go for the Whisperer. I think the one that got away said it was a couple of hours to the mines and back, right?
Wait, the Whisperer is to the west.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking go to the try to find the Whisperer?
Yes.
And then, rather not be ambushed by this thing.
The reinforcements coming from the mines will come here. If we're not here when they get back, doesn't matter. We would know to come back here. We can get back in. But if we go to this Whisperer, we could do something they don't expect. I don't think we have any reason to think that they'll harm the slaves that they have. We can rescue them later.
Yes, as long as this. I mean, unfortunately, we might have to return back to your stations and pretend to be cowering. But that might be the safe bet at this moment.
They don't usually check up on us, so I think we'll keep the doors locked and just enjoy not being chained to these posts.
Yes. Are you all with me on this? Head for this creature.
I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, because they said it, but like the guy said, he saw it, right?
Walking? No. He didn't see the Whisperer. He just saw them. He saw them walk someone to the Whisperer, and then they walked west. So he just knows that it's that way.
It's this island.
and the penal colony is mostly just like on like the very tip of it where you guys are. But there's a if you look on the map, you know you'll see that this island is sizable.
I think that's what we want to do. Can we loot the bodies to see if there's anything else here that we need that we missed?
Oh yeah. Like in that
before we head out.
Yeah, like that one building that had the two guys pop out. Like if there's any potions.
So if you go in there,
loot the camp real quick.
So there's a two. So you go in there, you ruffle around. It's a bunch of just personal effects and stuff like that. You find a diary that's like, "Dear wife, one day I'll raise enough money to get us out of here. And then we can start our own colony with just dwarves. No other races."
Oh, God. What
kind of person marries a slaver?
I mean, the same that marry certain federal agents, I suppose.
Birds of a feather. There's a bunch of ale. And then you find there are two healing potions that are, if only I could remember the levels of these things.
Healing potion major,
it's not that. Not that at all.
Moderate?
Yeah, not like the lowest, but obviously like one up from that.
Yeah, moderate.
I don't know if that's that.
Honestly, I think Sir Thorne should have one on him as well.
What was the other thing we found? Was it mail? Oh, it was
ale.
The letters.
Ale. Yes.
Ale. Ale, mail.
Yeah, you know.
And potions.
It's just a bunch of, like, credit card offers or something.
Slaves are us, I guess. I don't know.
Slaves are us. It's a bunch of business cards. Healing potion moderate, yeah. So two of those.
Alright.
Oh, Sir Thorne, I think, should definitely have one of them on him. Just because.
You continue to look around, and there is this tiny building that you guys sort of fought around it, but it's a very tiny building. You got pinging it on the map there. It's sort of like in between the carts and the cart building and the where the eighth hatch was.
Shed.
It's a little shed. It's got a lock on it, but obviously you took the key ring from the jailer. And if you open it up and you see a bunch of crystals. Some of them look more refined, some of them look pretty rough and raw. But you just find a bunch of crystals just in like boxes.
Okay. Do the crystals, like, I know they keep talking about these crystal mines, like, are they semi-precious, precious? Are they going to be used to, I don't know, power a giant world-ending laser cannon?
Yes. There's a blueprint for a... No.
for a death laser?
Go ahead and roll Arcana. Obviously, this will be... if you have Arcana...
Boy, what's with all these crystals? Anyone got any knowledge of the magics? Just knowledge of gardening and the Bellflower Network.
Some worthless shit. God.
roll an Alan's guard.
I got a 29. Not a great roll from me, unfortunately.
And anybody else have Arcana?
Nope.
Okay. So the way, when you look at it, crystals are, you know, just from like some basic knowledge that like crystals are used to attune like magic stuff, but you're not too sure what these would be used for. The fact that they have a bunch of them, it kind of looks like they're like throwing noodles at the wall. Like it looks like they're just getting a bunch of different kinds, a bunch of different shapes and colors. So you're like, they've just been collecting crystals for something. But collecting crystals like this in the colors and shapes and stuff like that, they're using them to attune something. You're just not sure. So this is what you find there. I don't think there's anything else here. The slavers had been nothing worthwhile, really. Anyway.
All right, we head west then. Can anybody track or be good at navigating through a rainstorm?
Nope. Give me a second.
I don't have survival, so.
I don't either.
Let's see what my wisdom is. I have a +4 to wisdom, so I guess untrained would be like a +4. Right?
Yeah.
So, I guess it might really the best shot.
plus one in wisdom, so.
Where's me?
We can all aid each other with your bonus.
Yeah,
we can. Aid me. Let's stack these bonuses.
I'm currently trying to figure out what my wisdom is in camp. I only have a +3 to wisdom, too.
Alright, if someone's to aid me, I got a natty 14.
Okay, let me try.
I rolled a 15 total.
No. No, no aiding.
Nope, not for me.
Alright,
so we just head west.
Right, so I got a total of an 18. If we're counting the 15 as an aid, that'd be a 19. If not, 18.
Okay.
Thought you said west.
Walking into the water here, man.
I was gonna say you start wading in the water. Everybody's like, "No, the other direction." You're like, "Oh,
oh right." You meant west.
So you head west for a little while, and it's about like an hour goes by, and you're sort of walking. And there's a certain point when the rain sort of stops, and you can see off in the distance what looks like some floating orbs that are just sort of bobbing up and down, just way, way out there. Like you can barely see them through the trees. You know, if you see like the light on like somebody's front porch and you see it like through the trees, and it's like that. It's like super, super distant, but you can tell it's like way, way out there, but it's moving. And there's more than one. And like sometimes they like disappear and reappear. but because the rain has stopped, it seems very, very strange to, like, see this out there. But you're sure you're heading west just because of the stars and stuff like that. And the, you know, location of the moon and everything.
Is there any knowledge we can roll on this thing? Or is it too far away to see?
Too far away right now. But that's your best bet. It seems like this entire, like, what you're coming upon seems to be very, almost disconnected from, like, the outside world or where it was raining. You know how, like, so for the Minecraft heads out there, you ever been, like, playing Minecraft and, like, you can see rain? You know what I mean? But, like, you're not in it, but you can, like, see. That's like what's happening here, is that, like, you can see rain, but it's all around you, sort of, like, off in the distance, but here it's not.
Oh, it's like a bubble.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we head towards is it just, like, floating lights in the trees?
Sort of in between, through, like, they're all very, very,
yeah, like just through the trees, yeah.
Yeah.
What do y'all reckon is going on here?
I do not know. What does, like, who was trained in Arcana or occultism? Like,
I am technically.
Are. Okay. Yeah.
So, Malari, what do you think those things are?
I'll tell you after I roll.
Tell me now!
Okay, I
30. Okay. Easy enough to know that off in the distance, the way that these things look and the way that they're acting, they're clearly willing this.
Oh, no.
That's what I was thinking.
Shit!
Tim, I need you to give me the creepiest music that you have. Because as you guys start to get closer, these will-o-wisps sort of, like, come in and out, and some of them might come close to you, some of them might sort of keep their distance, but their voices are constant. Their voices whisper to you. Sometimes it's just, hi, hello. Sometimes it's, save us. Run. You can't be here. He's watching you already. Is whispering these horrifying things that just send chills down your spine.
It's free real estate.
Free real estate.
Who's watching us? Where?
If you try to, like, interact with one, it just sort of goes away. They don't seem to, like, be answering. They seem to just be, like, warning or teasing or telling you things.
Oh, they're not outright attacking. Sir
Thorne's going to start... He's going to be on guard. He's going to start, like eyeing the trees and trying to...
If I could start moving with stealth, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, same with Lario.
Delicious souls. Yeah. Souls for the Keeper. The Whisperer desires each one of you. These voices are just, like... They transcend, like, any sense that, you know, that you could make in your mind about, like, the natural world.
Sir Thorne just gonna, he looks at the trees and he's like, you're out there. We are here. Show yourself now. Justice will be done.
He waits for you deeper into the swamp. And the farther you walk, you can see what appears to be sort of muddy, boggish sort of ground. And you begin to see a structure ahead of you. It is a very, very old, what almost looks like was once a tower of some kind. It might have been three floors. It's definitely barely two at this point. Complete disrepair. Time itself and the weather have just weathered away and everything in this. But it's still standing, and the stones are still there holding something. And you hear two voices coming from within, and you see two figures that are talking in, like, a sort of makeshift second floor that's still there. And you can hear them, they're almost, like, debating. I'm going to bring you guys over to the new map.
Ooh.
First off, this episode brought to you by
Black Oak Workshop, where dust are treasure.
The Black Oak Workshop. This area that you guys have come into is a large bog that is just oppressive with this just humidity and the fog. Anything 15 feet beyond is concealed. when we get into it. But as it stands right now, you can see some will-o-wisps that are sort of floating. Do you see the two glowing things? On, like, the north and to the west of you? There's two will-o-wisps that appear to just be, like, floating there, just providing light. And you see these two figures that appear to be debating about something. One of them has a wrapped figure, almost like wrapped up like a mummy, and is holding it like a duffel bag. And they're debating about something. And as you all approach, let me show you one of them that turns around.
Oh, I've seen this before. What the hell?
So this man, I don't know if I want to say that, but this guy, humanoid, gray, leathery skin, and he has antlers that are coming out of his head that are like 3 feet long, okay? And all that he has is like a loincloth and like a cloak, okay? That's all he has.
Nice rack, by the way.
He's getting a nice rack. He is in almost constant agony as he's talking. Like he was talking normally, but it's like his voice just sounded like agony no matter what he was saying. Okay. And then the other one is this guy.
Looks like a mummy.
So he has sort of lots of fabric hanging off of him. He has a lot of gems. He has this like really elaborate headdress with like sort of a gem in the center of the forehead. And in the picture, he's holding a glowing red crystal as well. Okay. And they were both debating back and forth. This guy is the one that has the figure wrapped up like a mummy, and he's holding it like a duffel bag beside him. Okay. And so, as you all begin to approach and you sort of get into where you are in the map, the one with the antlers turns, he like puts his finger up to the other one and says, Wait! We have guests. I feel them in my home. And he turns and he looks at you guys as you're on that like little island there in the bog. He says,
Why have you come here? Do you bring more? More souls? No. No, you're not that. You're not that group. You've come. The voices, they tell me you come for justice. But what I do is only business. For survival. My appetite for them and their life force is utterly insatiable. I simply cannot stop myself. But fear not. Fear not. My friend here makes use of what is left. I'm not wasteful as you see. So why? Why come here and disrupt my way of life?
Is there any way to know what this guy is?
So this guy is a very interesting character, as you can see. Go ahead and roll me, I would say society, only because he's like, you know, humanoidish, or obviously occultism, because this is some weird gen. Religion would also work. I need three of those.
37 for society.
Okay.
Ooh, 37 religion.
Okay.
got a 38 for society.
Well, but okay. Never mind. I'm done.
Okay, so all of you hit the society and religion DC there. So this thing is called a soul skelm. Soul skelms arise not from mortal men, but from other skelms, as their long-held wrath slowly twists them and replaces lingering fragments of their mortality with even more fiendish aspects. These skelms bully and exploit the souls of the dead, binding souls and undead to keep themselves indefinitely young. They bully living victims as well, stoking regret and shame, even from inconsequential unitai or outright fabrications, until these feelings become unbreakable ties that the skelm can leverage from beyond the grave. A soul skelm's attentions can leave a victim isolated from friends and allies, making them all the more susceptible to the skelm's manipulations. So, as you guys are sort of, like, looking at each other, you can hear some of the voices of some of the will-o'-wisps saying,
"Please, please, save us, release us into the afterlife."
And others are saying,
"Run, there's no hope."
And others are saying,
"Come, stay with us."
Sir Thorn steps up, draws out his lance, and he's like,
"If you want, now's your chance to release the curse of the prisoners back in the camp. It can be the last good thing you do while you exist on this plane."
And he's going to go up to kill him.
Okay.
With that, the tattered guy up there, is there something we can do on him too?
The guy with the gems and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and roll me occultism.
Oh, never mind.
Sounds like Mialari's territory.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
2-2-2. If I could get a decent roll here. Alright, that's not terrible. It's a 31.
31, okay. Just enough to understand that the way that this guy looks and the way you're seeing it through the fog, you're like, is that a denizen of Lang?
Oh, shit, that's what I was...
Fuck!
I'm glad somebody knows what's going on.
Man. So, slavers and raiders from the cold, windswept dimension of Lang, these malevolent humanoids range across the reality in ominous black ships capable of sailing beyond the borders of dimensions and planes. Although most denizens of Lang seek slaves and plunder like any pirate, others operate as self-styled ambassadors and merchants, sowing discord with far-ranging plots. So, it immediately occurs to you, Mialari, that this guy is working with slaves. I want to say that with, like, air quotes here. But what you're connecting here is that while the soul skelm takes the soul and, like, tortures it for however long he wants, the way that you know denizens of Lang works is that he probably takes the body to use as just a mindless slave somewhere in Lang.
Oh. Well, that's just efficient.
It's using every part of the deer.
That's what I was thinking.
God, because the denizens of Lang are usually of the Dreamlands, too.
Yes, yeah. I remember trying to explain to, like, a friend in one of our homes. Oh, it was in our 5e game, Mark, when we were playing in that.
Yeah.
And I remember that, like, I was trying to explain to them what Lang looks like, and there's, like, hardly any pictures. And it's, like, because it's just fucking weird. It's just a weird-ass place to be, and it's, like, just dream world. Figure it out. Like, it's whatever you think it might be. And so that's where these guys work, and they come here to the mortal planes to capture people, bring them back, and sell them.
Yeah, Nolly's gonna take the cue from Sir Thorn leading the charge, looking back at Laria and Mialar, and says, "Come on, lads, let's get to Lash." And loads up. Nolly's home.
Time to silence these whispers.
So, as you begin to approach, I'm gonna need, one, everybody roll initiative, as
bum, bum.
These two float down to the ground. I will say this too, as the anywhere that is the water, that is considered difficult terrain because it's nice and muddy.
But me being an elf, I can walk on top of it, right?
Yes.
Are you Jesus too?
No, I'm Legolas.
Also, just saying that for Lang too, the origins are from Lovecraft.
Yes,
basically. Yeah. So it's very alien.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like you aren't supposed to comprehend it. Like that's why it's so interesting. I would be the typical person to be like, let me figure this out, and then my brain just explodes because I look too deep into the dreamlands. I come back just like completely out of my mind.
Hey, Jake, your hair's all white.
The dream, man. The dreamlands. You can be anything you want. All right. Going around the table, Mialari Decor.
37.
Ooh.
Natural 17 on the die.
Sir Thorn.
31.
Ooh.
Laria.
34.
Nolly.
34
as well.
You know, it's not the best for me to go first.
So these two beings descend to the ground. The denizen of Lang, he is in fact levitating. By the way, so he is floating like 5 feet above the water.
Of course,
yeah. But it is your turn, Mialari.
Okay, I think I'm honestly just going to. I mean, where am I? Where do I even move here? I don't like this.
Yeah, you know, obviously.
All the water's difficult terrain, so I don't know.
And remember, I said that the fog is so thick here that it with beyond 15 feet is concealment.
Well, I don't really. I only have one ranged attack, and I don't think I'm going to get much use out of it here. So I think I'm just going to delay. What do you guys think?
You delay until Sir Thorn goes, and then we can move up with him.
Yeah, because if I go forward now, I'm just going to get jumped before you guys, because they absolutely beat your initiative rolls.
No. No, I don't know. But we roll fucking high. So.
Yeah, I was about to say, watch. I'm going to go. I'm going to move up, and then they're just going to both run at me. So I'm going to delay until Sir Thorn goes.
Okay. Laria.
Same. Until the Sir Thorn.
Okay. Nolly.
So Nolly is looking at you too. What? Oh, I'm afraid of some cultures. And she is going to take a couple steps up with one action. And with her 80 feet of range for Nolly's hoe, she's going to. Oh, wait, they're concealed, right? Because they're far away.
Yep. It's concealment.
I was about. I was waiting until you remembered that.
No! Dang.
It's a DC 5. What's be a DC 5?
DC 5?
Oh, DC 5? Yeah, I'll just.
Please, for the love of God, fail this. I will laugh so hard if you fail this.
I got a 9, John! Well, John!
Well, we could have had an interesting show, but I guess not.
Oh, how is this for an interesting show with a natty 18 on the die?
Damn, alright.
But who are you going after first off?
I'm going after the Skelm.
Okay,
Skelm. That is a 36.
That's a hit.
Yep, and I did drink the tea when they were talking. I was chugging that thing. I'm like, alright, we're going to have to kill him. So I was drinking the tea during that.
Got it.
Good. Standing around drinking tea while all the baddies talk.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. I mean, it's not like it wasn't interesting.
You called a monologuing, okay? I mean, I could drink in that.
Alright, I'm about to roll some seriously. I'm so pretty excited. Okay, so I got this Bloodstone die from Pax Unplugged.
Let me tell you, I love that one.
I have not rolled below a 4 on this baby yet. So it might be a way to die. They didn't say it was. Let's see. Let's watch. I'm going to roll like a 1. I rolled a 3. Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, there goes the streak. I called it.
Just don't say anything. This is the easiest option.
Oh, I forgot about the 1d6 spirit. Of course, silly me. Okay. So, man, I lost the number because I'm adding so many numbers.
From math
32 points of damage.
32 points of damage. Okay.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. Okay.
And then, so first action move, second action whack it because I had preloaded it. I specifically said that. Yep. And now I'm going to reload.
Reload. Sir Thorne, it's your turn.
Alright, Sir Thorne is like 80, 75-ish feet away from these things. I'm pretty certain that they'll probably cast some spells on me. Is there any sort of cover or anything around here? Any tree? Any... Like, I see a like wall. I see what looks like maybe bushes.
Yeah, so a lot of it is... Yeah, it seems pretty barren. I mean, like, there's like, you know, I would say that's a knee-high wall for the Joel Haver fans out there.
I remember that.
I literally just thought of that when you said it.
Yeah, that's a throwback.
It's just a wall.
It's just a wall. So, no, that's a knee-high wall, so unless you're on the ground, I'm not going to say you get cover from that. But, yeah, there's not much cover here, which is sort of the issue.
Yeah, we're, like, super exposed here. I don't want to get too far away from you guys because of all my auras and stuff. We're best definitely better together. So I don't think he's gonna run in recklessly. Honestly, he's probably just gonna delay, and this is like a bad combat to go first. I don't have any other real abilities here. So he will delay.
Well, I mean, I would say only about delaying is that then it'll be them. Because we all went.
I know, like, what do I do? Move nice and close for them to get into a 30-foot ray against me?
I get that.
Yes.
I could move up to them and then get fucking murked on their round. So okay. I'd rather them at least have to move and take the first move, because
we just don't have... Yeah, Nolly will just crush them.
Yeah, let Nolly beat them. Let Nolly beat them up from distance, and we just let them come to us.
All right,
because otherwise I'd try to find cover, but there's nothing really to cover. Yeah.
Okay. It comes to the Soul Skelm's turn. So you hit him in the neck, and then Tim, what he does is he like coughs. He's like,
"Get them, and I will set you free. Get them, and your souls will be free."
And then he stealths into the fog.
Ah!
I'm going to secretly roll this.
But then he drops dead because you crushed his windpipe.
You hear him wheezing. okay.
I love how Jake said he was going to secretly roll it, but told us that he's rolling, so is it really secret anymore?
It's part of the rules. Okay. All right. So he disappears.
Oh.
Wow. And the two will-o-wisps that are floating to the north and west of you, they begin floating towards you. So let me go ahead and start moving some stuff around here. Alright, so the first one is the one on the north. That one up there. It is going to start making its way. I guess Sir Thorne is the first one, so I guess he'll just do that. Speed on a will-o-wisp. Fly at 50, awesome.
Dang, yeah. Okay.
They're fast. I mean, they're a spirit.
Yeah.
I mean.
Just enough to get right up there with Sir Thorne. So, He's going to reach out, and so this floating flaming skull comes up, and its mouth opens, and it goes to hit you with it's just a little shock attack. 22 is definitely a miss.
Critical miss.
Critical miss. And then after that, it goes invisible.
Oh, right.
Actually, I will use my reactive strike for when it got in. Got in fair enough range of me.
There's a big glowing floating torch, so can't miss that.
Natural 20.
Oh my god.
Great way to success.
There you go.
Alright.
Kill.
That's a way to start. Ghost. I feel like it's been so long since I've had a natural 20.
I think you're right.
Oh! Headshot! Triple damage. The target must see a fortitude save or die.
Yes!
Alrighty.
Yes! Let's do it.
Fail it.
First off, do triple damage. We'll see if it even survives. These are will-o-wisp after all.
Alright. It'll be.
Just stab it straight through.
Swap!
I mean, oh my god, on 2d8, I rolled an 8 and a 6.
Oh my gosh.
Alright, so that's 44 damage.
Okay, so it didn't take it down, so now he has to do the 42 save, right?
How does that make sense? 44 is not divisible by 3.
Didn't triple, I doubled it.
Oh,
so,
66. Okay, so it is dead then. Yeah,
66,
okay.
Yeah.
All right,
it pops. It literally explodes. I mean,
thank you, math boy.
So Will-O-Wisp comes up and it goes to strike you, and then I guess it doesn't get it off because you hit it with the lance.
Did he put it the rest?
Just open his mouth and he just skewers it straight through its weird 3-year-old body.
Alright, so the
does it seem like its soul's free?
It screamed and it dissipated when you did that, so it seems like you did something.
Yeah.
These were the ones that seemed to be, like, enjoying the idea of, like, it eating your souls, though. And, all like, right, you know, yeah, yeah, so, yeah. Who knows where the soul went? That is
freaking
what I'm saying.
Jerks.
Well, for asthma, hopefully. So, yeah, I'll leave the judgment to her.
Yeah.
You just slam dunk them in the river of souls. I mean, they're ball shaped.
So the denizen of Lang, it is his turn. He is going to go floating over towards the west. Only about one movement, but as he is doing that, does some hand motions, and then it, through the fog, you can see what appears to be multiple images of him as he casted a spell on himself.
Can't do too much about that, to be honest.
Okay, so that is. Should be a way to give him mirror image. Right?
You would think.
Yeah.
I think there is something. On Foundry that does it and makes the image kind of like waver or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool.
Oh, okay, there it is. Ah, I did it. Yeah. So if you look at his, there's a little icon of stuff.
Let's see. Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. So there are multiple images now of him. Second, so the Will-O-Wisp that was over to the west. He is going to float down as well. 50 hill feet. He's going to go. Let's see. Sir Thorn is not within range. He's going to do two movements to get over to Mialari.
Hurtful.
And he's going to do a little tack. Little tack on you.
Wait, me and Mark didn't go after. Well, I guess Sir
Thorne. Oh, sorry. Really
we don't
know.
I mean.
But. Yeah, it was after Sir Thorne, my bad.
I mean, it doesn't really change anything. I'm still not sure what to do. But.
Well, that's true, because you guys waited for Sir Thorne, but then he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I guess you guys are still waiting.
What do you
what
think?
Do
you
do?
I think it just depends on whether, like, after that, Will-O-Wisp went, we know that they're going to be attacking us.
I probably would have at least moved closer to Thorn.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's fine.
I'll say, like, what we could easily space each other in, like, 15 feet to stay within his aura.
Right.
Sure. Okay. All right. So John, move up and then move yourselves and then.
With all that light.
I do. It's so much light.
So bright.
So bright.
Okay. So you would still be. Mielar still would have been the closest one. Uh-huh. So it will still go up to you. So okay. Move it over.
Probably there.
Okay. All right. 35 to hit.
Yep.
Okay.
I'll be using Nimble Dodge.
12 points of electricity.
Yow. Alright.
Okay. And that was all it could do because I had to do two move actions, so it does not get to go invisible this turn. And then it comes to Mielari.
Oh, that's all great. Right. It's not invisible. I didn't know it cost an action for you to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. A lot of their action economy is about, like, going dark and coming back. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
All right. I will be striking out with my rapier.
Well, I'll go. Lara comes up, like, hold on. Let me get into position first. And just saying for you to delay, because that way you get that sneak attack.
I'll delay.
Brilliant.
All right.
Lara will go.
You just tased me. Hurry up.
Yeah, move behind the Will-O-Wisp and strike out at the Will-O-Wisp.
All right.
She's just gonna punch a ghost. Why not? You know, at this point.
Sometimes you just gotta punch a fucking ghost.
Yeah. Oof. Shit roll. 22 to hit.
Yeah, it's a miss, actually.
It's natural, too.
That adds up.
Yeah, swing again.
Tim, 17 God. Plus 19.
3 on the die. God damn, that was garbage. Nothing. So,
okay.
Attack, please.
So I get to go now?
So that means that Laria will be at the top of the round, and then Mielari will now.
36.
I'm sorry, I've never punched a floating skull before. All right.
36.
Yeah. That will be a crit because you're flanking.
And because I drank the special tea... What do I get?
D8s.
Yeah, so instead of the D6s for sneak attack, they are D8s now.
Okay. So first off, piercing. And you said there's D8, just 2D8?
Yeah.
And that gets doubled.
Oh my gosh, I forgot. Oh, this is going to be so juicy.
So, hold on, I'm working a lot of different numbers here.
So many numbers.
That's going to be 48 points of damage.
Whoa!
Not down, surprisingly.
Okay, well, we'll give it the second one. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Second strike. Oh, 3 on the die. It's going to miss.
Okay, all right. Alright,
You got a third action.
Yeah, I do. Natural 20.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not even surprised.
Not at all.
Alright, should I even bother rolling damage? Or...
Oh, natural 20, it you might
the
get
a... card, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, what type of damage?
Piercing.
Penetrating wound. This attack ignores all resistances.
Didn't have any, but...
Alright, I'll ask the question again. Should I bother rolling damage?
Just roll it, yeah. Because I'm like looking at minimum, and I'm like, minimums on a crit would be devastating to have, but...
It has happened.
It has happened.
Thirty-three, I think.
Or like 30 dead.
Yay.
Woo.
Again, not really the one I want to be critting right now, but that's alright.
Oh, gets rid of these little bastards.
Looks at your thorn. See, I can do it too.
I wish when I made it dead, it would make the light go away.
The obnoxious light go away, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, okay, they don't have bodies to worry about, so I'll just do that. okay. So, alright, that was your turn. Nolly, it's you.
Okay, so I had to spend my last action reloading.
Yeah.
So in that case, I think I might have enough range. Yes, I do! To try to take a whack at that denizen of Lang. So I'm first, I'm going to try to make that concealed check. Which I make it. John.
Do you have to do two concealed checks because mirror image?
So what happens is, depending on my die roll, determines the mirror image. So if I miss on my attack, I destroy an image. If I hit, then I have to roll, which if I hit the image or him. If I crit, then I think I don't know, something else happens.
it's a huge complicated ass mess, but yes, there's a PEMDAS to it at least.
Man, I love all the math jokes today, guys. how does a 28 suit you?
28 doesn't suit me at all, in fact.
Well, it's not a critical fail, right?
Nope.
So I destroy an image.
You destroy an image.
Fine with me. And my second action will load. Third action, I will do it again. Because I'm right in line, I make the conceal. All I want to do is miss. Because I just want to burn down those images. And if he casts it again, sure, just keep casting your mirror image. I don't even care. So let's see. That is a 28.
So that's a miss, so another image goes away.
What, it's got like one image left?
That is one image left. Mm-hmm. You heard that right, folks.
That's a great turn for Nolly.
I see, Nolly, you're having an image problem.
Okay, Sir Thorn.
You know, they say when you're working on your self-image, sometimes you gotta tear down others. Isn't that right?
It's a little toxic, but we can work with it.
Nolly, what the fuck?
Oh my god. Yeah, I'm still kind of in the same situation. I think I'm gonna spend my first action seeking for the Soul Skelm. See if he's...
That sounds like a band name. Seeking for the Soul Skelm.
Seeking the Soul Skelm.
That's a fucking good name.
Oh my god. It's
definitely like a power
metal
band. Definitely
from Norway.
We're all quitting the podcast and we're now seeking the Soul Skelm.
Go make a band, yeah.
I feel like Seeking the Soul Skelm would be a really good album for a power metal band.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
Yeah. Okay. So are we sticking with Dragon Punch then?
Yeah, Dragon Punch, Seeker of the Soul Skelm. It's
perfect. Alright, I got a 38 to seek. I rolled a natural 19.
Damn!
Okay, so sure enough, you're looking out, your eyes are sharp, you're used to like finding things in the dark. And sure enough, towards the west, you can see him. You can see the figure of him sort of like wading through the water. The way I want to describe this is, do you remember reading in The Hobbit when Bilbo encounters Gollum, and it says that he's on the boat and he's just like wading like with his feet kind of like pedaling back and forth, but he does it so smoothly and so effortlessly that there's no waves, there's no like reaction to the water because he's so smooth with it.
Yeah.
That's how he's like moving through this water right now.
That's great.
It's like, yeah, it's disturbing, but you spot him barely.
Do I know what square?
Yeah, I'll show you. So there it is. So he appears to be coming up from the west.
All right, I'm going to charge him.
Yes.
Okay.
Charge! Let's charge with your lance.
My speed is 25.
Yep.
Damn. Well, actually, that's 25 right there. And I have reach.
As soon as you hit that water.
Oh!
The reach.
Oh, but that's water, though. Is that, like, just
it was,
one?
It was one step into the water. This is land. Water.
Yeah.
So my last step would be into the terrain.
Okay, so the last step will be difficult, that's but so that perfect. Would be enough. Okay, there we go.
So I just charge with him. 10-foot reach with the lance. He's still invisible, so I'll roll the hidden check.
Yep.
I thought you could see within 15 feet, right?
I detected him.
Yeah, but I thought he was stealthing, right?
He's invisible.
He's stealthy.
Yeah, oh, stealthy. Cool.
So
yeah, so you see him.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Let's go. Come on. Oh my god! Another natural 20.
Oh my god!
I felt it.
Black Oak Workshop, the tentacle dice.
Where dice are 20s.
Where dice are 20s.
God dang it.
Oh my god, 2 nat 20s.
Oh my gosh. This is amazing. I tell you, Black Oak Workshop was the best thing that happened to this pod.
Interesting. Alright. Cheek pierced. The target must exceed a DC 5 flat check to cast spells with a verbal component until healed. So I don't know if this happens.
Okay. Fantastic.
I don't know if he casts spells, but it's got a little harder.
But if he does, shit.
Yeah, that's good. Goros with his antlers instead.
All right, that'll be 26 damage.
Okay. All right.
Stab him in the face.
Okay, it comes to the Soul Skelm's turn. He's going to take a single step up, and then he's going to say,
You shall know isolation.
And he's going to attack you.
What? What was that?
So, you're going to know isolation. So, he is going to... So he has a spike chain that's made, it's just like vines, really. And he goes to hit you with it. Uh, 35 to hit.
Hold on. Can I get a reactive strike off on him?
No, because he did a step.
No, he's in difficult terrain. He can't take a step.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Then yeah. All right. So yeah. Then you can't get one then.
Yeah. Just roll another natural 20.
Yeah. Just finish him off.
Keep him from moving close.
No. Natural 4.
Okay. All right. So the 35 to hit then.
Yes. Right?
Okay. So it's 31 points of slashing damage.
Jeez.
However, I need you to make a will save.
Oh.
All right.
That's creepy.
Is it 31 damage?
If this is a fear effect, you get a +2 bonus. Oh, wait. Are you within 30 feet? Yeah, I think you are. I think you're just barely.
It's not fair. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's not fair.
All right. We'll save.
Come on, Sir Thorn.
Get the fuck out of here. That's a. Sorry, these dice are really dark, and it's dark in my room. That's 37.
37, okay. You are... man, hold on, let me see. Okay, no, it's just on failure. Okay. So, he hits you with this, and the entire world around you seems to shudder for a second. And it's like you're in complete darkness for like a few seconds, but then you shake it off and you're fine.
Nice.
Your tricks won't work on me, creature.
Hold on, wait, let me make sure. Okay, so then, okay. Alright. And then after that, he says,
"Come to me, souls. I need your essence to feed each and every one of you."
And 2 more will-o-wisps come in.
Dumb.
And I'll see you guys next time.
Yeah. Oh, God. He's a will-o-wisp factory over here.
Cheater.